I want to share with you some things about your teacher, the Holy Ghost, and how he's way smarter than you are, and how he weaves these things together that it's just amazing to me. Because it wasn't until later in the day, Tim taught the 8:30 service this morning, and I just thought it was superb. Then I did the 10 o'clock service, and the Lord kind of led me through it. I really only knew the starting verse. And it wasn't until I got home, and I was cooking some steak. It's Mother's Day, and so I had some shrimp on the barbie and some steak on the barbie, for Sue. And while I was there, when my mind got quiet, it wasn't until then it dawned on me, Tim taught out of the same chapter that I taught out of. Did y'all know that? It didn't dawn on me until then. I better go look at that chapter. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because what the Lord's doing, as always, He's trying to bring balance to our lives. And we're coming into we're in a time of, if John in his day said many deceivers have gone into the world, what in the world, what would he say about our day? My Lord. And the thing of it is, with the internet and with TV and with radio, that deception has the power to spread so much more rapidly than it ever did before. And things can just really take off like wildfire. Now, that's great when it's the truth. Hallelujah. It's not so great when it's not the truth. So this morning, Tim started off, talking about, really the message, I guess, was a warning from the Lord that be careful that we don't become dull of hearing. And one of the verses that he used in here was this passage here in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I didn't realize, again, till later, that the opening verse that I had from the Lord, which I thought was a totally different subject, was in the same chapter. Later on in the afternoon. And so I had to go out and get my Bible and read this whole thing again. So this morning, Tim had us read, I've got my notes from then, 2 Timothy 2, verses 22 through 26. So let's look at that. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that impose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Well, to be perfectly honest, as I'm listening to Tim deliver those verses, I'm feeling a little bit guilty and wondering if I went too far the Sunday before when I was talking about ammunition against deception, because I mentioned names, sometimes I wonder about this gentleness thing, because I've been through it before. Really, to be honest with you, I've read this, and I'd get in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, well, must not strive, must not. But then when I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which is the only pattern that I have, we're supposed to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I know he didn't walk in violation of this, but yet when he would talk to him, he'd say, you brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombstones, and if you don't believe I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. I mean, he was telling them straight, boy. And I don't think his tone of voice was, well, you little brood of vipers. I don't think it was. I think he was letting them have it, So anyway, later on, because the Lord's wanting me to teach on the balance between staying in the Word. We're not going to go out beyond the Word. And the main example I used today was like when they start talking about female angels and they're receiving their counsel from female angels. In my book, you've left the book. you've left the Bible now. And I gave an example from, of that. But yet, right on the other hand, does God speak to us out of the Word? Well, absolutely He does. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have verses for that. But then there is a leadership that's even more detailed than that, and that's where the Holy Spirit brings you the present hour mind of Christ. So we went to Acts 16 and saw how the Holy Spirit led Paul and Silas. They were going to go to Bithynia. They were going to go to Asia. And the Holy Spirit forbade them both times. Why? Because it wasn't the mind of the Lord that they go there. Now, later on, they did go there. Paul went later to Asia, which Ephesus is one of those cities. Stayed there several years. Founded a major work there. Well, anyway, so the verse that I launched into, not even realizing it, just, you know, one of my main mottos now, the Holy Spirit is smarter than I am dumb. So even though I launch off in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it didn't dawn on me till mid-afternoon cooking at the grill. Hey, wait, that's the same chapter Tim was in. Now what we're going to do, we're going to look at this all together now, see, to get the balance of what it is to not strive and be gentle unto all men. Because Paul's not going to violate his own counsel in this chapter. Isn't that right? So the verse I started off was 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, where it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Well, we want that, don't we? I'll tell you, people ask me, what's your biggest fear? I'll just tell you straight up that I'd teach a lie. Scares me. I do not want to teach a lie. Now, I have believed, and what scares me is I have believed lies, lots of them, especially in those 80s and 90s when they were, you know, when the prosperity gospel, the extreme version. Now, God wants us to prosper. I'm not against prosperity, but I mean that extreme version where, you know, hundredfold return and name your seed and all those things, you know. Well, I taught those things. And I hate it that I did. What I'm really glad about, there was no cassette tapes made of those. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it helps me a little bit when I hear Dave talk about the early days when he says, you know, he's ultra holiness. And he says, I'll tell you one thing. Ain't no women going to wear no pants to my church when I ever get a church, you know. So that gives me hope, you know. Yeah, amen. That gives me hope. So, we're supposed to study. We're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. But yet at the same, and one of the reasons why is so we can, look at verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And thank God we have an example. He gives us an example of the kind of thing he's talking about right here. And as I read this, and now that I connect it up, even as I'm reading this, he's not violating what he's about to say down here in verses 24 through 26. He's not striving. He's not being mean. He's gentle. But yet he names these guys by name. For all eternity, their heresy is written in the Word of God. And he says in verse 17, and their word will eat as does a canker. And in the margin of my Bible, it says gangrene. Gangrene's pretty bad. I don't want doctrine that's like gangrene to me. Amen? Well, what was the doctrine? Saying, well, first off, and their word will eat as does gangrene. And then he names them. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Well, what were they teaching? He lays it out, what the error was. They were teaching that the resurrection, and I suppose he means the final resurrection, the last resurrection, is past already. They're out teaching this. Now, here's what we're not told. Okay? We're not told whether these guys were sincere. You know why we're not told? Now, what I mean by that, did they honestly believe that? Probably did. Maybe not. We're not told. Some of the things that I hear taught, my mind goes, can they possibly believe that? Or are they just trying to make some money? You know, is this a scheme? Were they on peyote when they got this? Some of the things, you know, And I just marvel. I lose words. I have a hard time. But see, the reason we're not told, it doesn't matter. The doctrine that they're teaching is gangrene. Whether they're sincere, whether they're not sincere, it's got to be exposed. You don't want to be so gentle on them that it doesn't correct them, so that you're very ungentle to all those that's going to have their faith overturned. You see what I'm saying? All right, so what's he say here? Calls them by name, who concerning the truth have erred. In other words, they're wrong. And they're saying that doctrine that they were teaching, that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Man, that's serious stuff when you start overthrowing their faith. Nevertheless, let's go on now. Let's read the connecting verses here. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, you ought to pick something up right there. Why put that in there? Well, because if the resurrection is already past, it's too late for you. You might as well just, whatever feels good, do it. There was something about that message that was lending itself over. Well, you might as well, it's too late now. Just live any way you want to. Why else put this in here right at this point? Let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Something about that doctrine they were teaching would cause you not to depart from it. Verse 20, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these. Now, look at how this is worded. If a man therefore purge himself. To make sure you understand what I'm saying, it does not say, if the Holy Ghost purges the man. Okay? Now, we need the Holy Ghost's help to do about anything. But this accountability is going to fall squarely on each of us. If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Now let's stop right there for a moment. If a man purge himself, if we're going to leave it in the context, what did Hymenaeus and Philetus, if they're going to follow this, what would they need to purge themselves of? False doctrine. That means they would have to come to the knowledge, and that's why he says here at the end of this prayer that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. See, they're not Paul's enemies. They're not Christ's enemies. We pray for them and instruct them with meekness and gentleness, all right. In other words, let them ask questions and don't count them as an enemy. The idea is we're trying to recover them from the work of the devil. Hopefully they can come to themselves and see it. But then you know what they have to do? They have to go back where they preach that trash and unpreach it. You know what I mean by that? Preach the truth. Say, I was wrong. Man, I've done that so many times. During that Bible study, after I've been praying 60, 70 hours a week for almost 2 years, or at that point it was 2 years, and the Holy Spirit had line upon line, precept upon precept, unlearned me, untaught me all of that prosperity stuff. Because I used to teach it just like they did. I'd read the books and listen to the tapes, and I could, man, I'm a good student, you know. And I'd preach, you're cursed with a curse! If you don't tithe, you know. Cursed, man! I told Sue's sister one time, and I told her straight, I said, there's no hope for you. You're a God robber, you don't tithe. I know, oh, is right. Was I sincere? Yeah, I was sincere. I thought I was helping her. I thought I was telling her the truth. Boy, later on, When the Holy Ghost, you talk about apologizing all over yourself, you know? And the Lord worked it out where she wound up living with us for about 2 years. And the whole breach was worked out and everything was okay. And she wound up baking pies and cookies at the Bible study and everything was fine, you know. But I had to go and unteach that stuff. Part of being teachable is the willingness to admit you're wrong about stuff. Dave says it to me like this. He says, Gary, even with all the Lord has taught us, we're still wrong about things. Because if that wasn't the case, we'd already be in the revival. Because the Lord's not holding it back. We're not able to appropriate it somehow. So we're still wrong. That's to say, we're still wrong on stuff, you know. Well, I'd rather be taught and admit I'm wrong as we go than stand there and say I've never made a mistake. People was asking me a little bit about the... You know, I gave the example that Dave gives all the time about learning to hear the voice of the Lord. And how many of you know that doesn't happen overnight? Have y'all figured that out yet? You know, and there's a learning process, and Dave uses that example. People were asking me after the service. They were saying, well, because I said, hey, you know, Dave uses that example all the time of, I was praying, Brother Dave. God sent me to the barbershop at 2 o'clock. Told me there's going to be somebody there for me to witness to. I went to the barbershop at 2 o'clock, and the barbershop was closed. There wasn't nobody there at all. Brother Dave, why would God send me to the barbershop at 2 o'clock when there's nobody there? And Dave goes, probably in gentleness and meekness. He didn't send you. That wasn't Him. Now see, a teachable spirit right there will just plain fess up. Okay, I missed it. That was my own mind trying to hear the voice of the Lord, but that wasn't Him. And a teachable spirit will say, I missed it. I'm going to try again. Did you learn your ABCs the first time you said them once? You had to try and try and try. I was so bad at math, I've never been quick with math, and I wound up being an engineer. You know, I mean, I had to go through, you know, integral, differential equations and calculus and all that stuff I've never even really hardly ever used since. But I had to go through it, you know. Well, you got to be teachable, see. Now, pride would say, and I've seen this especially with gospel entrepreneurs, especially. Bob, I'd be careful here. Because they'll hear God once, and it really was God, and they'll act on it and make a bunch of money. They think they hear Him again another time on another deal, and they lose about that same amount of money and maybe $5,000 more. And they go, why did God do that? And I go, I want to go, you idiot, but I don't. You know, in meekness and gentleness, you tell them that wasn't God. One of them broke fellowship with me for about 3 years because I told him that. I said, it wasn't God. Oh, he must be trying to teach me a lesson. It wasn't God. No, he's trying to see if I'll endure after I fall. Just a bunch of old religious junk carried over from previous, you know, growing up teaching. I said, it wasn't God at all. Yeah. Couldn't admit. See, could not for about 3 years. Well, see, my job is, when I know that I'm right, is to hold fast even if it means we break our fellowship. Even if it means you stone me to death. My job is to hold fast because I love you and I love Him. Now, when I'm wrong, I've already had to change a bunch and I'm still changing. Okay? I don't mind to admit that, you know, hey, I was wrong about something. But there is no substitute for starting to step out on what you think you're hearing. Amen? Why is it so quiet? And I'm not preaching just to Fred. It's really quiet in here. So I made the statement, hey, I've had my share. I've had my trips to the barbershop at 2 o'clock. People after the service, they want to know all about that. You know, so I'm not asking you about your trips to the barbershop, but they want to ask me about mine. I'll tell you about one of them. It's real similar to that. I went to school on the west side, went to Clinton Junior High. And in the early days when I was trying to hear the voice of the Lord, really this was before Dave Roberson. This was, you know, you do know that people hear God that don't go here. Yeah. Anyway. But I had been praying quite a bit. And I was trying to hear the voice of the Lord. And I was just sure I heard the Lord on a certain day, I want you to go to the main entrance of Clinton at 3 o'clock on today. Be there at 3 o'clock. There's somebody I want you to talk to. Well, I got there a little bit before 3. Nobody was there. They wasn't there at 3:15, 3:30, 4 o'clock. 4:30, I left. You know, it wasn't God. It wasn't Him at all. It was either my own mind or the enemy trying to trick me, and so I would start doubting that I could ever hear God. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, "My sheep know my voice." You can't quit because you stumble a couple of times. In any area of life, that's true. Whether you want to become an athlete, whether you want to become an engineer, whether you want to become a good mama, whether you want to... No, I don't care what it is, you can't quit because you stumble a few times. You get back in there and you press on. Amen? Hallelujah. All right, let's go on here. Now, see, I only told you one. There was quite a few of those trips to the barber shop at 2 o'clock. If you know what I'm talking about. If I sat down with you, we might find out about a few of yours. Okay. What does it? Just because you stumble a few times, what do? Quit? No. You keep on going on. And my comfort nowadays, I quit trying to figure things out so much. This is two of my main models. Number one, He's smarter than I am dumb. If I give Him an opportunity, if I pray enough, He'll get it across to me, no matter how dumb I am. Well, okay. The other one? You want to know the...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. See, the other part of that, when you really start hearing Him, it's going to require change in your life. See? The things He's really interested in, He's probably not even going to lead you there yet. I'll tell you something He said to me the other day. It really surprised me. I was praying and looking over what all He's done. You know, I'm really amazed at how the Lord has used Sue and I to some extent. Y'all know we're plain as dirt, you know. And when I see what He's done since we started here and just began doing this message and how He uses the website and everything, you know, it just amazes me. And I was just thinking about that and saying, Lord, boy, you're so smart the way you've done all this. I know I'm not smart enough to figure this out. And He said, well, you do know if you hadn't obeyed me. If you hadn't obeyed me, none of this would have happened. You know what I thought He meant? I thought He was talking about obeying Him to pray all those hours. Well, it was not wrong to obey Him to pray all those hours, but when He saw that that's what I was thinking about, He said, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about way back there in the beginning when you were willing to forgive that couple that hurt you so bad. Remember, you've heard me tell about that, the time that He told me to forgive them and I didn't want to forgive them. Father, I'll pray for them, but you know I don't mean it. He went all the way back there. He said, if you hadn't have obeyed me and done that, you wouldn't be in ministry today at all. See, obedience doesn't start with your ministry. Obedience normally starts with forgiveness, working on your heart, working on deep roots that's been there, maybe hurts and things that's been gangrene to you for years and years and years, you know? And it's obedience in those things first. He's got to heal you up before He can heal through you. Is that good enough? Does that help? He's got to heal you up. You know, you're wanting to be used by God. I was wanting to be used by God. I'm wanting to heal people, and if you could see me in the Spirit, I'm an unforgiving, bitter fruit man. You know, got bitterness in my heart, and I'm hurt and wounded. He's going, well, we got to get you healed. You got to obey me in these things. We got to get that bitterness and unforgiveness out of you before my love can flow through you. So obedience to Him sometimes is different. I want to know about my And I'm looking over this way now just because I've been picking on Fred too much. No, I'm not quitting. No, there's Tim. I'm going to go over here. We're wanting to talk to God about the miracle that we need or the worldwide ministry. You know, I want my worldwide... Here's a guy. I want my world... What's my next instruction? And your next instruction is forgive that person I've been dealing with you about for 5 years. He doesn't really have that. Or whatever it is. You know? With some people, it's... could be all kinds of things. I mean... Boy, time goes slow when he's picking on me. I'm telling you what now. That clock's lying in the other direction. See, one of my big disobedience things, right now we've got a fresh word from the Lord. Now, anything that comes through Dave, if you want to know, I take it personal. So when the Lord says, yeah, thou shalt get in shape, he's talking to me face to face. I don't know if he's talking to you or not, but he's sure talking to me. Well, does it look to you like I've obeyed that word? I don't think so. He's been dealing with... I can take you back to 1998 where he gave me a word about that. Did you obey it? Well, look at me. No, I haven't obeyed that. Well, so what's he saying now? Well, that's it for you. No soup for you. No ministry for you. No, he's exactly like Tim portrayed him this morning. And we'll go back and we'll say, God, look at me, Lord. I haven't obeyed you on this, you know. And he put his arm around you, and he'll say, now, I'm still here. Things have changed a little bit in your body over the last so many years. And the way you did it then is not the way we're going to do it now. But I have counsel for you, and if you'll listen to me, we'll still get this thing done. Boy, isn't that good stuff. Your Lord is the friend who sticks closer than a brother. Sticks closer than a brother. He is so for you, you'd think he'd be willing to die for you. Oh, yeah! He did! Willing to die for you. Hallelujah. Well, we still haven't quite finished these verses here. And that's why we come back to verse 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, in this case, what's he talking about? False doctrine. We're all in the process of being purged from wrong thinking. Not only with doctrine, but other things. There's all kinds of things. And some people have to deal with laziness. In my life, I had to deal with almost the opposite extreme because I'm like a workaholic type person. On my own, if you would have seen me in those days before I got saved, I mean, I'm one of those, the typical pattern for my life was 16, 17 hour work days my whole life, always. And I've just always been that way. And that's where I felt comfortable. To learn to sit and listen and hearken. Are you kidding? I'm like a runaway freight train all the time. Got something else to do, you know. So he had to deal with me. But see, that's just as serious a flaw as the other end of the pendulum, which is laziness. And he's got to get us both to the middle. See, it doesn't matter what yours is. Okay, get back to this. But if a man therefore purge himself, I almost hate it that it's written that way. Purge himself. Now, does that mean that you're on your own now? See, ultimately, nobody can change you but you. Someday, and I don't want to use myself again because he's being real nice to you. What is something durst thou not know? That I lovest coconut cream pie. See, it's one of these days as I'm about to take my next, the fork has already been through the pie. It's headed for my mouth. And he's going to put his arm around me again and he's going, well, now is this the day? And it's totally up to me. He will counsel me. He will remind me. He will encourage me and he'll strengthen me. But ultimately, whether that fork full of pie goes in my mouth or does not go in my mouth, it's up to Gary. Man, don't you hate it that it's that way? I want to go to bed and wake up thin. And and muscular and a foot taller. But it doesn't say that. If a man purge, look at it, look down. If a man therefore purge himself of these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Now the older I get, I don't know how much verse 22 applies to me, but at my age now be flee also elder lusts. You know. You know, there's a lot of old guys, have internet fingers too, you know. You know what I mean? Porno and everything else. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, which is love in action, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Well, let's go back to Tim's message for a while, which is difficult for me with Tim sitting right over there. I think the biggest one of the, you know, there's two really, I've been here a while now. You know, been here, what, since 92. This is 2008. Several years. I'll tell you the two things, the two big sins, the two big traps. The number one trap I've seen at the prayer center all these years is that you get so familiar with the message you never even know when you quit doing it. And part of that is because we're all eating off of Dave's tree to some extent. So we come and we literally feel the presence of God. We're receiving revelation knowledge, but it's not us that's getting it directly from the Holy Ghost. We're getting it indirectly through Dave or through Tim or through whoever's doing the teaching. And without noticing it, your own personal individual prayer life diminishes year by year by year. And you wake up sometime and you'll go, when did I decide to quit praying? I don't remember making that decision. Because you get to thinking about it, I haven't really been in serious prayer, and I'm not talking about praying in the car and praying mowing the lawn. Maybe you haven't even been doing that. But I mean, just any time where you just separate yourself unto the Lord. Just you, maybe the Bible, and just praying in other tongues. That's the number one trap that I've seen. And if you stay there too long, it's not a matter of if you'll be taken out, it's just a matter of when. Okay? But the other one that I've seen is exactly the warning that the Holy Spirit gave Tim. We just flat get accustomed. How did he say it exactly? The sin of getting used to it. The sin of getting used to it. Today during the service, one of my friends from, really before the service, it was during the worship, and the first time I saw this little vision was while the exhortation or the prayer over the offering was going on. But I had a friend who was here that I used to drive trucks with. His name's Mike. Real good guy. Spirit-filled. Loves the Lord. But he's been attacked physically in every other way over the last couple of years. It's just been real strong. And he works a pretty physical job. He's not a truck driver anymore, but he works a pretty demanding job. And in that court, he's my age or slightly older. And he tore both of his rotator cuffs. Now that's a real painful thing. And he's got a real demanding job. And before the service, I saw him and he was telling me about it. He wasn't able to raise his arms, I mean, just maybe 8 inches. I mean, not even up horizontal. So, saw him right before the service, and I go up to do the offering. And I'd already done the offering, and Richard was doing the exhortation over it. And during that time, just those flashes. This comes from spending enough time with the Holy Ghost to know that place where He speaks. It's not always words. Sometimes it's pictures, and they come very fast sometimes. But like a flash, I saw Alan Taylor praying for him. Well, now, in the old days, I would have probably just written that off. But I saw it, and I've learned, it's not my job to question why. I had the what, I had the who, and the now, Because what I saw, Mike was wearing the same shirt that he was wearing right then. So, you know, it's today. Okay? I had all the information I needed, except, now, do you want to do it right now? Or do you want to do it in the prayer line? Well, during the course of the service, I saw two more times Alan not only praying for Mike, but I saw him praying for anyone that needed physical healing. He was like walk. I saw him walking with Sue and I, and him praying for anyone that needed physical manifestation of healing. Now, why you say, well, why did the Lord do that? Can't He work through you? I just work here. This is the whole point of what we're talking about. It's not, those are the kind of questions it's not even my job to ask. I used to. I don't even care anymore. I just want Mike healed, and I want those other people healed. And I want to obey the Lord in every little thing that He says. So the way that we did it, thank God Mike stayed till the end of the service. And he was one of the ones. I called him up to be prayed for specifically. And, of course, that's a lot of pressure on Alan. I didn't tell that whole deal, except I said, well, I saw, you know, here comes Alan like the lamb to the slaughter. You know, okay. He has no preparation time or anything, but he just works here too. Well, did y'all, I don't know how many of you were still here at the end of it. You ought to see Mike. I mean, he was raising his arm straight up, praising the Lord. He was still doing it out in the parking lot later. He was, you know, just he could do full motion with that thing. He said, it does not hurt at all. I've hardly been able to work. And he said, look at me. It doesn't hurt at all. Then we had another fellow who drove here all the way from Colorado because he'd been a 60,000-pound pipe. He's a welder. And a 60,000-pound pipe had rolled over his body somehow. Crushed his hips and legs and bones, and he'd already had several surgeries. And I saw him walking around during the service, man. He could just barely, yeah, you talk about a hitch in his get-along. He had a hitch in his get-along. I mean, he was having a hard time getting there. And so here we go again. And what's funny, he gave his testimony later, and he says, well, I came all the way here from Colorado so Dave could pray for me. Got here, and Dave isn't here. And he looks at me and says, I never could get much into your teaching. Hey, I appreciate the honesty, you know. Don't bother me. You know, he said, but during the service today, I actually felt drawn towards God. And I'm going, well, thank God, you know. Hallelujah. But see, the whole point was God intended to use Alan. I don't know why. But you ought to hear his testimony. He was walking. Was he not walking completely different? And he was saying, I'm telling you, I know that I've been changed, my hips and my legs. He says, I've been healed. Praise God, giving his testimony. Huh?
He had no pain.
Did y'all talk with him? Now, he was serious hurting. I mean, I saw him walking back and forth to the bathroom and everything. So, we're all learning on this. But the message is, boy, if anyone was ever at the right church to be taught on purpose just because you want to, stumbling along. Hey, be willing. What I mean by that, be willing to take your 2 o'clock trips to the barbershop. You know? Be willing to. And just be teachable about it. That's how you learn. I'll tell you this. I haven't had many of those trips. You'll take less and less and less of those trips as time goes along. Because you just flat learn where that place is. You just know it. And you know, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you and praise you that we're all on a journey together. None of us has arrived. We're all going to arrive together. Yes, sir. Well, when they got there, didn't the whole bunch go into the promised land? We're all going in together, you guys. We're all going in. I thank God we've got leadership. I thank God for a pastor who's not willing to settle for the status quo. I thank God for a pastor who will set himself aside and still, after 30 years, be praying and fasting like he is. Thank God. Thank God. I thank God for Tim and Leah and their faithfulness and leadership. I thank God for each and every one of you. I've seen many of you here for about as long as I've been here. When you come to the third service on a Sunday, I know you're hungry. You know. But Father, we thank you and we praise you. You're not going to forsake us. Lord, you promised us you're not going to leave us like orphans to have to find our own way. Father, we thank you. You've sent that Spirit of yours, the Holy Spirit, that Comforter, the Spirit of truth. And Father, what we ask of you, Lord, how to receive the grace that you have for us. So that we allow that Spirit of truth, give Him enough time to bring us into the fullness of all You have for us, Lord. Because we've got a city and a nation and a world that so needs revival. We're trusting You to bring us into it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Now let those two today be an encouragement. Here we had two come, and they got what they came for. One came all the way from Colorado. Now, so in one of the people in the prayer line asked to be prayed for, said they've kind of lost their focus. They've lost the objective, the goal of the prayer center. One more time, turn to Matthew 15. Just take a second. If you ever start getting fuzzy on the goal, what the picture is of revival for the prayer center, here it is. Matthew 15. I hope it's there. Yes, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Look different to me for some reason. Now, don't just read it. I mean, we see it there till it's alive to us, but what He's wanting to do here is exactly the same thing He did there. We've got Bible for this. We're not people give Dave grief over emptying the hospitals. Well, let's see now. Let's just see. Matthew 15, verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes. Dave has seen it in vision form. The cars disappearing over the horizon on Highway 75 and trying to get in, and ambulances and people bringing the people on stretchers and serious cases and wheelchairs and crutches. Can't you just see them coming in, you know? Great multitudes come unto Him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. My favorite four words in the Bible. And He healed them. Them who? Them all. What if they would have brought everybody in the hospital? What if they would have emptied out the children's hospital and brought them to Jesus' feet? What would have happened? He'd have healed them all. What if they would have brought St. Jude, every child at St. Jude's hospital? What would have happened? He'd healed them all. That's the revival we're contending for. This right here is it. And look, insomuch that Tulsa wondered. The whole world wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. They'll glorify Jesus the healer and God the Father. Let's give the Muslims a fighting chance. Let them see something. Hallelujah. Hindus too, all of them. Glory to God. If you get fuzzy on your focus, there it is. That is the revival that we're contending for. That's it. That kind of an outpouring to go far enough into God to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Now we get that kind of thing operating here, we're going to shake some religion loose. You hear me? We're going to shake some religion loose. God's power will be so strong, man, they'll be repenting in the streets. Hallelujah. I'm excited about it. So how you doing? This is the best day of my life. I've never lived this day before. Something great's going to happen. Hallelujah. Learn that at the house of the Lord. According to Jason, Starbucks. Asked this young man behind the counter. I said, I didn't expect him to answer, you know. How you doing? This is the best day of my life. I jumped back. I said, well, what makes you say that? I've never lived this day before. Something great's bound to happen. Man. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.